Over the years, Joko has made many statements about Zen practice or about practice. At some point, I think it was in the early to mid 90s, she gathered together a number of them into a statement that is titled, What Practice Is? Just a list of them, or I should say a page full of them. So the next few days will clarify a bit on these. In a way, this English word practice is a funny word. Funny because it has connotations that are almost diametrically opposed when we refer to Zen practice. In fact, the reality of life is there's no such thing as practice. Each moment is complete, whole, this whole universe. Never even practice, much less practice in the sense of make-believe before something real. Nevertheless, the word practice is a useful word to help us clarify what it is, how it is we are doing our effort, doing our effort in order to be who and what we are, which is sort of funny to say. How could we do something in order to be who, what, life we are? We are what we are. Even saying that is a bit funny. When I was a kid, and this is the common way of maybe using the word practice, we used to have practice before we really did the thing. Practice games, practice tries. I remember when we were young kids, we used to collect cards, mostly baseball cards. There were so-called baseball cards and so-called, I think in my days, there were football cards too, but we weren't really interested in football cards, mostly baseball cards. We would buy baseball cards in, I think it was a 5-pack for a nickel at that time. And there was a piece of gum that came with it, which we threw away, in part because it wasn't kosher, but in part because that's what kids did. They didn't buy the pack of cards for the gum, they bought it for the cards. And then we would play cards, sometimes in a competitive way, tossing them in a certain way against the wall or other places, and someone was a winner or someone was a loser, or flip them. And sometimes people who didn't want to lose say, oh, that was just practice, that wasn't real. I didn't lose, that was just practice. Those kinds of cheaters are common with us kids because we didn't want to so-called lose. So there were always people who tried that, and then the rest of us would say, yell at them. Didn't let them get away with it. Don't count that. I should have another turn. I'll prove that I am whatever it is trying to prove that we were as kids. And of course, it's common in English There's a famous expression, some of you might have heard it. There's in New York, for musicians, you probably heard it, and artists, there's a famous venue called Carnegie Hall. And some, I don't remember who this was attributed to, some famous pianist or violinist was asked, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Because performing in Carnegie Hall was considered the pinnacle of having arrived. And the answer was, practice, practice, practice. So in one sense, what the word practice is being used there is preparation or learning and developing and honing a skill till you finally do the real performance. But before that, it's practice. That sense of the word is fine, but that isn't what we're talking about here. There is no such thing as practice. We never get even a moment ago back. There isn't anything for later. We can operate on that basis, but each breath is the breath of this moment. And if I'm breathing now in order to be able to breathe later, who knows? This might be my last breath. And of course, it does make sense. You want to develop skills, and you do it first as a first-timer, then as a second-timer, and then so on and so forth. Nevertheless, each time we do it is whole and complete in itself, the whole universe. And you have practice games and practice exercises, and you run around and learning certain, developing certain muscles, certain capabilities, certain, let's say in baseball or in football, certain plays that you use, and you do develop muscle memory, and you do develop other mental skills that enable you to, quote, perform better, whether in sports or in music or in theater or in giving lectures or who knows what. So yes, there is practice, and you go out doing driving practice till you get to do the test. But the practice that we're talking about in Zen practice is simply the being who and what we always are. And it's not in order to perform in a certain way, even though each time we do is part of, how should I say, the karmic cause and effect that informs the next moment. Everything we do is part of the karmic cause and effect that informs the universes that become revealed, our ability. But from the beginning, we are the heart mind that arises from nowhere, right here now. And yet, we even talk about many past lives of the Buddha, and there's Jataka tales that are devoted to that, with almost sutra-like status. In fact, there's stories where it's said that the Buddha said such and such person in past lifetimes did this, this, that, and that, so that now finally they can take care of whether different things, they can approach the Dharma, they can deal with their tendencies more skillfully. But when Joko is using the word practice, and what we have to remember is each time we breathe in, breathe out, is the whole of the universe of this moment breathing in, breathing out. So in that sense, practice is a word for what it is, who it is, our life is, our life-death is. And there's a before, and there's an after. So I'll pick up a few of these to speak about today, and a few of them for the next days. So Joko says, practice is just one thing. Practice ultimately deals with just one thing. The fear that I am not. Practice ultimately deals with the fear that I am not, which is, as she says it, the fear at the base of human existence, the fear at the base of a lot of things we do to refute, reject, cover up, deny the fear that I am not. Ultimately, she says, ultimately, we don't sense this much of the time. We don't notice it much of the time. But asserting self-centeredness, if I say it in such a way, making a big deal about thoughts and feelings that arise, spinning off in all sorts of fantasies, even when we're sitting still, not to speak of when we're with others, when we react to things that others do or don't do, whether it's others in the room next to us, or whether it's others in some other universe that we just hear about in the media, hear about from others. Reacting to, if that's so, then I am not, or I am less, or I am, and you fill in what I am that shouldn't be, or what I am which isn't sufficient, or the fear that I am not. Not that we have to notice that, except that when we notice that is a reminder, a help, is a bodhisattva coming to give us an opportunity to be awake as we are. It might be that if my son, my daughter, my friend, my fill in the mind does or doesn't do something that we're not okay with, and others see that, what does that mean about me? What are they going to think about, quote, me? This is, I am not. How could I make that mistake? No. It's, or how can I prevent anyone from knowing that I made that mistake? Or that they made that mistake and that reflects on me. And how will that reflect on? When life offers us that opportunity, if we're sensitive, willing to notice it, then we can enter into that I am not fear when it arises. We could be willing to rest in it, not because it's particularly good, but because it's particularly this moment and fundamentally, life is experiencing what, who this moment is. Or, to say it a different way, as Joko says, practice is experiencing whatever life presents, or it's being willing to reside, which is another word for experiencing, in whatever life presents to us. Whatever life presents to us. And what do we notice? We notice sometimes even when we're sitting. That's not okay. There's something wrong with that. That thought, that feeling, that sense, bodily. I've got to think about something else. I've got to justify it. I've got to say, that's not me. I can't be have such hate, anger, rage. Or, other ways, they can't know, and I don't mean just when sitting, but at other times, they can't know that I had such thoughts, much less that I did such things, that I said such things, that I had friends who said such things, or children, or parents, or you fill in who. Whatever life presents, so-called inside, so-called outside, is what our practice, if I use that word, is to be. It's not what our practice is as something extra. It is our life. And if we're willing to embrace it, then it appears and disappears. Then we don't have to add on, so to speak, on top. Oh, that's a good thing. Oh, that's a bad thing. Isn't it great that life presents that? Oh, I'm so special because of that. Well, I'm so terrible because my life includes, and you fill in. So, in a sense, practice is developing the capacity and willingness to be sensitive when we refuse to be what life presents to us. Because being sensitive to it means that we can let go of that resistance, fighting it. Resistance doesn't mean that you have to actually fight with it, but the unwillingness to embody this moment of our life is cutting our life off because of the sake of the I am not, I should not. And then we miss, and fundamentally, if we say it, practice is being just this moment. Being just this moment. Or, to say it another way, Joko said, practice always comes back to just the willingness to be. So simple. And since that is who you are, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to learn anything new. You have to notice, if you want, work with your unwillingness to be what is. Not what is that you figured out, but what is that life presents, whether it's when you wake up in the morning, or when you visit someone, or when someone calls you up and says, you are a... Or these days, they don't call you up, they text you, or they post something, and how could they say that about me? And all those other people are knowing that. Oh. Or talk about other ways. See, these willingness to be is what Zazen is. The willingness to be this, the willingness to be this koan called my life, revealed just as it is, right here, right now. Then on each moment's flash of our thought, as the gatha goes, the sutra goes, each moment's flash of our thought is exactly the lotus land of purity. Like exactly the revelation of the enlightened way. Don't have to use such fancy words. The reality of the universe is exactly. And there's nothing extra and nothing lacking. And yet, it's important to notice unwillingness. Since even though it always comes back to the willingness to be unwillingness is great. Because you get to notice it. If you're present. If we are sensitive, it takes effort because unwillingness is sometimes something we fight. I can't let anyone know, much less my own, let myself know, that I'm not willing to be here with her crying, with him complaining, him saying, you are such a shit, excuse the expression, or worse. Are we willing to be what life presents? Ah, how could I be so stupid? I made this stupid error right in front of everyone. Oh, oh, oh. That's the willingness to reside in however, whatever so-called I do or others do. It doesn't mean that it's okay to do anything you want to do. It's practice, if we use that word, is a commitment. A commitment to make and do what's called for despite our unwillingness to do it. Despite our, call it, past tendencies that are manifested now in my habits of likes and dislikes that come from who knows where. On account of beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance. Where does it come from? Who knows? We don't have to know. It appears it's a habit that this life has, and you could explain it, but it doesn't make a difference. When we sense that, that's a good bodhisattva who comes and says, ah, look, I'm unwillingness. That's a reminder to you to do what's called for. I'm uncomfortable about this. I don't want life to present this. Good. That's a reminder. A reminder what? To embrace your life. To embrace the life of the universe and then see what you can do. And you are, we are all capable of doing wonderful things when we do that. Even if we get red in the face, blush, who knows what we do. Even if we shrink back and yet we go forward. Even if we say, that's not me, that's not me. I don't mean to say such things. Not in public. No one's supposed to know that. How could I have that thought? That just slipped out. And yet, okay, I said it. And especially the fear that if anyone knows that that's what I think, did, thought, who I'm with, who I'm not with, then I am not, and then you could fill in what I am not. That's, we even have that expression, I shrink away from, that's perfect expression of I am not. Common phrase. And yet, where you shrink away from is where you have to shrink forward to. Or use the shrinking away to give you the opportunity to say, what's appropriate, skillful? What can I step forward to be this moment? Because it's calling for me to step forward because my habit, I don't know my habit, the habit that appeared is to shrink away from it. And is that a skillful, or is that getting in the way? Getting in the way of experiencing who and what I am, we are, right now. Because, as I said, practice life, Buddha way, is experiencing the truth of who we really are, what we really are at this moment. I could say it more. I could say the practice is experiencing the truth that we are Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and we only encounter Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in all realms, whether they so-called know it or not. Even if they think they're angry devils, hellish ghosts, hungry ghosts, or other things, it's not just the truth of who we are, but who we are. We live in a world of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, many of whom don't know who and what they are. Okay, I think this is enough of a start. I am going to go through some more of the things she said. Remember, all of this is not for us to know new things, but simply as gifts for us to have heard so that we can live who, what we are. We can nurture the life of the universe that we are. We can nurture beings who we encounter. And in nurturing beings who we encounter, we nurture our own life. Thank you.